Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together. We're being a little goofy right now. What's that?
George Costanza with the loud pants.
Steve had loud pants on last night and felt the need to text that to me. But anyway, we got to talk about the impeachment. You know, every week I'm like, can we finally fucking not talk about Trump? Not yet. But I have to also say, and I don't mean this to be a dick, but your profession is not shining lately.
Dude, these guys are. I mean, you know, part of it is, you know, people, if you're doing the mental gymnastics to twist this in favor of Trump, you know, people are, well, they didn't have a lot of time to prepare. Well, I hate to tell you this, but that's on Donald Trump, right? It's his defense, and he is the one who put them in this position.
Because he fired his team.
By firing his team, whether it was about money or whether it was about the, you know, whatever argument they were going to use.
Stolen election argument.
Yeah, I mean, he put his team in this position, so, the whole process starts off with, you know, this sort of preamble to the actual trial over the constitutionality of impeaching and having a trial to remove and prevent from taking office again someone who's out of office.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, look, if you're just being objective and looking at it, the congressional impeachment managers have done a really good job of laying out the case, not only for the constitutionality, but of, you know, what Trump did.
Conviction, right.
In terms of actually inciting and kind of bringing upon, you know, firing up what happened on January 6th. You know, and there are a lot of people saying, well, he's out of office, it doesn't matter. And it's like, first of all, it does matter, right? While he was in office, they held the vote to impeach him.
Yes.
Right. So that happened while he was in office. So if you look at what the Constitution says, the Senate shall try impeachments, right? That's a very short paraphrase, but there's no qualifiers, ifs, ands, or buts. It's not they'll try it as long as the person's still in office. They'll try it as long as his term doesn't run out, then it goes away. And, you know, there are arguments for and against it. There are constitutional scholars, people who teach at Ivy League schools, who disagree with this, who are on opposite sides.
Sure.
But the reality is that I'm going to side with the constitutional lawyers that look at it this way. If you allow for someone to avoid an impeachment and removal and,
right,
you know, banishment from office because, well, we just ran out of time, then that means that last few months after the election, then they could do whatever they want, right? There's no rules.
And realistically, when Nixon was impeached and facing conviction, he resigned. They could have said, okay, you resigned, it doesn't matter, but they didn't. It took Gerald Ford pardoning him for that to go away.
And then, so, you know, the reality is that this is, and again, like I said last week, for the Democrats and the Republicans who have voted to move forward with this impeachment, this is about accountability.
Yeah.
This is about holding Donald Trump accountable and holding those in his party accountable for his behavior and for his actions. And people are saying, well, he didn't commit a crime. Listen, there's enough to say maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the point of it is that the Democrats and there are some Republicans are saying his behavior that led up to January 6th is unacceptable for the person sitting in the office of the president.
You know, when we...
Hold on, I'm not done. And so because of that, right, if you disagree with that, if you're saying everything that he did up until that point was fine, and, well, he said fight, but he didn't mean fight. People say fight all the time. Well, when you say fight and then people do fight, you know, you can tell me what you meant, but I see what happened. But this is about accountability. And even if we know that basically half the jury, quote unquote, has already decided that they're going to acquit him, then we need the history books to show what they did, right? Which is why the vote can't be anonymous, which is why the vote needs to be public and people need to see how these people are acting, right? Whether it's Josh Hawley with his feet up on chairs, doodling, all that other stuff. Okay, fine. But we need to hold those people to account, because the next step is, all right, what if and when this happens again, it's the behavior is not going to get better, right? Like, we really didn't hold Nixon accountable, and now you have Trump. Trump was worse than Nixon, so now what is the next person going to be? And I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican. It could very well be a Democrat, right? Maybe something happens to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris takes over, and she's a complete tyrant, right? But then, you know, Democrats refuse to hold her accountable because they want to go tit for tat because the Republicans didn't hold Trump accountable, and then our democracy falls because the Republicans right now are afraid to step up and do their duty and hold Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and Rand Paul accountable for their actions leading up to January 6th. And that's attacking the election, attacking the peaceful transfer of power, which has never been an issue for us until now.
Right. And that impacts our international credibility, which people can say, I don't care about what the foreigners are. Bullshit. As soon as we lose credibility, we are fucked. When the first show we had after the attacks on January 6th of the Capitol, you were on fire.
Livid.
And I've had multiple people say to me, like, you know, they were moved. One of my friends said you made her cry because you're so impassioned. Now, I was able to blow off some steam because I went off on my cousin the day it happened. So I was not, you know, I had my moment to vent. But seeing the videos again and seeing them, I saw more in the last couple days than I had seen prior to, and watching things like the chants, the attacks, and then the Democratic impeachment council did a great job of saying, here's what was happening and here's what Trump was saying at the time.
Yeah.
And when he was saying it, it was the one thing was Mike Pence should know. So I'm going to paraphrase. I don't want to claim I was quoting a misquote. Mike Pence should know that, you know, these are not normal times and he can take less than normal actions, so yep, those things don't apply. That's flat out saying don't do what you're constitutionally required to do.
There's a moment where Trump is, you know, going back and forth with Tommy Tuberville, right? A newly elected senator, and, you know, pushing Tuberville to, you know, not certify and everything else. And Tuberville's response to Donald Trump, who was the president of the United States, was, they just rushed Mike Pence out of here for his own protection. I can't do this right now. I have to go. All right? That was Tuberville's response to Trump.
And
now,
Tuberville is a total Trump bootlicker, by the way.
He is. But my thing is this. Donald Trump is president of the United States. So do you really think that Tommy Tuberville knew before Donald Trump that they were rushing Mike Pence to safety?
Right. Well, he would have been in the building and Trump was on the golf course, so maybe.
Okay, but
I'm sorry. That was January 6th. He was not on the golf course.
Right.
He was in D.C. I'm sorry.
It's 2021.
Right.
Right. He can be anywhere in the world. He can communicate with anyone he needs to within.
You're the president of the United States. You better fucking know.
Right.
Is the big point.
If the vice president is getting rushed out of
the Capitol building
for his own safety, then I'm pretty sure someone alerted the president of the United States, which that goes to show that Trump didn't care. It didn't matter, right? And he wasn't worried about it. And you could say, well, that doesn't mean that he incited it, right? But if he's sitting there still trying to convince people to do something that they can't do, that they have no power to do, right?
Sure.
As it relates to the election, like, he's still impeding.
And calling Pence a coward, by the
right.
way. Right.
I mean, like, so, but the issue is, he's saying things about Pence, about you know, Pence not being up for the challenge and, you know, needing to step up. And the people who are rushing the Capitol are using that they're like, hey, look, you see what he's saying? Go get him.
Yeah.
So.
And get him and do what, by the way? Murder him?
Kill him.
Yeah. Hang him?
You know, I mean so,
fuck's sake, dude. That's crazy.
So what's interesting is, you know, a friend of mine from back home, you know, when this all was going down, like, I was pretty pissed, and I said something on Facebook about it. And, you know, he came at me privately and was just like, you know, typical Democrat, blowing this way out of proportion. You guys rioted all summer, and now all of a sudden, you know, you guys were violent, you burned businesses, you know, some people got rowdy and broke some windows, and now all of a sudden, you're pissed. And, you know, I was pretty upset, but I didn't respond. Right, because okay. I didn't respond because there was nothing good going to come of it. Because
I was gonna say,
with my level of anger, I know bullshit had my rifle out, was cleaning it, ready to use it, because I didn't know where this was going. Like, I was watching people rush the capital of my country, taking down the American flag and putting up a flag of some guy. I saw a Confederate flag in the Capitol building of my country, and a Confederate flag is literally an enemy flag. Right? I mean, besides the fact that, you know, South Carolina was flying it on their fucking Capitol building up until not that long ago, but this felt like something I would watch in Afghanistan, Iraq, Africa, somewhere else, right? And yeah. It was happening here. And so I didn't respond to him, but I did respond to him yesterday.
And? Go on.
You know, and I just went through the people who died, how they died, and the list of people who have been indicted and what they've been indicted for, and said, so I'm just throwing this out there, but this seems like a little bit more than burning buildings.
Yeah. Well, and so...
He didn't reply.
Shocking. There were multiple things I gleaned from watching the videos yesterday, and one of them was there was a Capitol Police officer who was black getting sort of charged and then backing off, you know, people backing off of him. And he literally, I think, created a diversion and then fled for his life. And he didn't draw his gun. Yep. And I was literally watching that thinking, if I was in that situation, I don't believe I would have shown, I don't even want to call it restraint. I mean, I guess that's the right word.
I think a lot of people will tell you in that sort of situation, the problem is there were so many people, right?
Right.
Like, assuming he's got a Glock. Right?
I think that's what it was.
The most rounds he could have is what, 17?
17, yeah.
So there were more than 17 people there. And the reality is, are you going to be able to get them all?
You know what, though?
Before they get to you. And I think there's, on the one hand, you shoot a couple that stops them. But if not, then there's a chance that this ends with you dying with your own gun. So cooler heads prevail. It's, let's see. And because I think he ends up leading them to other police officers and other teams. Like, the way that video plays out is, one, not only does he, you know, kind of go back and forth with them,
right,
but they were all trying to go right, and he says, and then he acts like that everyone is somewhere else.
He
diverts them and then leads them basically into a trap, right, where he had backup and he had support, which is brilliant. But a little side note, so this guy is clearly fearing for his life and the life of senators and congressmen, right? And he has a blink of an eye to figure out how to do this.
Sure.
And you said he didn't. You said he did. There's no training for it. He didn't draw his gun, and he puts this all together. So now, I'm sorry, but the whole argument of these cops who just shoot people, right? Because they
fear for their lives.
Because they fear for their lives, and the person fucking sneezes, that shit completely goes out the window. Right, it just complete, like, the that whole excuse, well, I feared for my life, like, just, fucking, like, the dude was, the, you know what I mean? Like, he was handcuffed.
This guy
handcuffed.
Was having his life threatened, right.
You know, I mean, like,
this cop had his life threatened verbally by a mass of people.
By a mob.
But now, I will say this, this is a famous Wyatt Earp thing, because he was carrying a six shooter, the mob of 20 people. He would say, okay, I've only got 6 rounds, you die first, and you're next, and you're next. People get a lot less brave when they know, okay, the 20 of us, you know, there's only 17 rounds of that gun. There's 20 of us. 3 of us for sure are getting through. Fine. But some number of you aren't. And the fact that he had that composure and guts amazed me. And I totally would have gone Wyatt Earp. Like, okay, you die first. Who wants to be second? Back the fuck up.
Maybe,
and I don't think anyone would have judged that.
Right. And I don't think that there's no way to you would have been justified in doing so. Drawing your gun and pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
Right? Because he had the Secret Service officer who, or I believe it was the Secret Service, who shot the girl who was coming through the window.
Right.
He's like, stop, stop, stop. She kicks it. He shoots her, right? No problem. And then after that, like, to your point, like, all of a sudden, the whole, we're going in there no matter what, all that shit stopped. They're like, oh, my God, they shot her. You know, I mean, which is, you know, all of a sudden had to be a wake-up call for that group and what they were doing. So, I mean, we saw it both ways.
Sure. I am commending the officer for his composure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
there's no, I
would have not.
Yeah, and a lot of people would have handled that different.
Right.
You know, but I, a couple weeks ago, I talked about the, another officer who got consumed by the mob, you know, and he knew he couldn't draw his gun, and he heard people screaming that they, you know, wanted to shoot him with his own gun. Yep. And fortunately, he was saved by people in that mob. But I mean, this was a violent, chaotic scene that people died, people were injured, people will have lifetime injuries from this. This was not just some people that were pissed off and broke some windows.
Right.
You know, I mean,
compared to the guy who took down an AutoZone is fucking insane.
And people saying, like, well, I mean, you know, businesses were burned. Yeah, businesses were burned, and that was terrible, and people need to be held to account. And, oh, by the way, in a lot of those instances, the people who were burning the buildings were not the people who were protesting, right?
Also true.
So.
And proven.
And proven, right? And proven. Like, this is not speculation. This is not a guess. This is, you know, people were, you know, found on video setting fires and doing things, and those people turned out to be, you know, Trump supporters and conservatives and Proud Boys or whatever. Right. So, you know, this is not the same. They're not, it's apples and oranges. It's not a comparison that you can make. And this is the capital of our country.
Yes.
This isn't a fucking CVS in Baltimore. It's not an AutoZone in Minnesota, right? An AutoZone in Minnesota has insurance. It gets rebuilt. It's unfortunate and it sucks. But this is the capital. This is the U.S. capital. This is the building where they were certifying the election of our leader. Our, right? Everybody's, yes. Whether you like it or not. And the reason they were there is because they were incensed by a president who lied, right? Who said it was fraud. He had no proof and no support, but he continued to say it over and over again, right? And he said it so much that he began to believe his own lie.
And people believed him and acted thinking, we are following the orders of the commander-in-chief.
And then when they got arrested, they went as far to say, we were there to do what we did because of what he said.
Yes.
Yes, so you can't say,
fucking wild.
Well, I didn't mean for them to do it, but they did because of what you were saying.
Right.
Right. I mean, you could be as upset as you want to be, and fine. You want to challenge it legally, you challenge it legally, but you still lose gracefully. And he didn't. You know, I mean,
he didn't lose gracefully.
And it's costing him in several ways, right? Because this I'm pretty sure will ruin him financially before it's all said and done. I'm not so sure it doesn't end up killing him.
Just on a stress level? Because yeah. He's lived on KFC and Big Macs?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think this is sort of a Joe Paterno situation, right?
Oh,
You know,
when the fight's over, there's nothing to live for kind of thing?
Yeah. Like, what? Like, I mean, you know, your name is completely disgraced and, you know,
you know,
I mean,
what, though, Joe Paterno had something that resembled integrity, and I don't think Trump ever did. I don't know
agreed.
If this will affect him.
Agree. Well, I mean, it's affecting him because, I mean, he's watching himself lose, right? There's no way you can watch his representation in this whole impeachment trial and think, yeah, this is going well for me.
Well... I mean, his legal team was so shit the bed awful.
Oh, my God. Listen.
It was comical.
You know, I was pissed. Right.
I want to talk about this.
Because, like, look, if that's all you're... If that's the bar, like, fuck, I would have done it for you. Like, whatever...
See, I'm not a lawyer. I could have done better.
Listen, whatever you're paying him, I'll take half. Right? I'll take half. Right?
You're assuming they're getting paid.
They're getting paid.
They're supposed to get paid.
Right? I mean, I figure he was supposed to pay the other group like $500,000. You figure $250,000. I'll take $125,000. Give you a huge, huge discount.
This negotiation is legally binding. So Trump, you can make the call.
Trump, you give me $125,000, and I will give you like the result's going to be the same. Now, here's the deal: the result's going to be the same no matter what. Ultimately, he's going to walk.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's going to walk.
He is.
He shouldn't. I hope we get proven wrong. I hope there are GOP senators who actually grow a pair of nuts, grow a conscience, grow something, and make the right call. We need 11.
17.
No, we need 11 more, right? You've got 6. More. You six got 6 already, you can count. Jump.
Yep.
You got 6 you could probably count on. Realistically, you need 11, you know, maybe 8 just for safekeeping to make the jump. But the reality is it's probably not going to happen, and this is going to go down party lines, and you know, all we're going to get is an account of what's going on.
Agreed. I want to stay kind of on topic but jump a little bit, because faux patriotism is a fucking, it infuriates me. And Matt Gaetz, representative from Florida, is the poster boy for faux patriotism. This guy wants to wrap himself in the flag and at the same time be a complete fucking scumbag. So he put out a thing, he's on a committee, and he said, I think our committee should open sessions with the Pledge of Allegiance, which they say in the House every fucking day. Now, cool, Matt Gaetz, you want to be patriotic? Fine. He didn't say that to be patriotic. He said that because he then went on Fox, when they said, we say it in the morning, we don't need to say it again. He then went on Fox News and said, I just tried to put out a proposal to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but these Democrats don't want to pledge allegiance to the flag. I am for the flag. One, Matt Gaetz, fuck you, you're not. You are supporting people who attacked our country and literally hung a flag with Trump's name on it where our flag should have been. So your faux patriotism is pure fucking bullshit. And two, you did that shit exclusively to be able to make that statement on a news program and show your patriotic nature. I cannot say fuck you to Matt Gaetz enough. Fuck him twice.
Well, I mean, you're doing him a favor because it was all about attention, right? And he got
okay,
it.
Okay.
Right? I mean, and I'm not like, he needs to be called out for the bullshit, but I mean, that's why he does it. There's one thing I wanted to bring up that I'd mentioned to you off air actually yesterday. So last year, one of Trump's impeachment lawyers that is on his legal team this year, or that on today, right now.
Yes, you did tell me this.
Oh, one of his impeachment lawyers sued him and accused him of making claims about fraud with no evidence as it related to the election. So when I say last year, I mean 2020, it's 2021, right? Like, so recently, right? So, you know,
a few months ago.
Right, like sometime.
Last year sounds like a long time ago.
Yes.
A few months ago.
Right, in, you know, November.
Yeah.
You know, October, November. You know, Philadelphia lawyer Michael T. Vanderveen filed a lawsuit against then-President Donald Trump, accusing him of making repeated claims that mail voting was rife with fraud, despite having no evidence in support of these claims. This week, Vanderveen is adopting a different posture as part of the team of attorneys defending Trump's effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election results in the Senate impeachment trial. Now, here's the question. Does Trump know that this guy that is on his team actually sued him about this thing that he is being impeached for? Right?
I would bet no. I would bet he does not know that. Now, even if he does, this is the ultimate example of beggars can't be choosers. He needs lawyers to defend him.
Okay, but I just... I think I could do without that lawyer. I feel like I can do without the guy who sued me last year, right?
I would think, but when you told me that, I was driving, and you were telling me like, you know, and I said, what? And you were like, yes, you heard me right. This guy sued Trump over false election claims, and he is now defending Trump over. Is his impeachment. That is hilarious. Now, you know, I think it's always a lawyer thing where we get paid to do a job and it's our job to represent our client to the best of our ability. I get that fully. But yeah, I think it's a fair bet that Trump does not know.
Now look, I mean, the guy, you know, the Vanderveen guy, he's a personal injury lawyer. Right. Now, personal injury lawyers are necessary because personal injury, product liability, stuff like that. I mean, it happens. But they have a reputation, right? And
a well-deserved one.
And it's well-deserved. And this is what this guy is. So maybe Trump knows about it. Maybe he doesn't. I think the Vanderfleet guy sees an opportunity. He's like, hey, by the way,
you want to escalate your profile?
Right. He sees it like, oh, you just got rid of your legal team. You don't have a lot of options. I sued you over this. It got thrown out. So I can be like that case did get thrown out, whatever he sued him for about, you know, the fraud and, you know, no evidence. So I guess his angle is, since I sued you for fraud and not having evidence of making all these claims and my case got thrown out, I know your case inside out. Let me represent you. Now, the reason why, me personally, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, if you sued me and your case got thrown out, how do I not know that you're not going to try to fuck me, right? Like, you basically get fucked because your case gets thrown out. You don't win. You don't get the notoriety. So now all of a sudden you're defi- like, how do I know that you're just not going to stab me in the back through all this, right? So it's bizarre, and it just goes into the vat of shit that is the Donald Trump presidency.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean I think we agree, and nothing has changed in my mind that he will end up ultimately being acquitted. But I was one of the guys saying, is this worth doing? And I'm now firmly in the camp of, it is absolutely worth doing. In fact, it is a responsibility of the Congress and the Senate to do it.
And here's the deal. You know, you talk about Matt Gaetz, and you talk about all these people that were, you know, that were Lindsey Graham and everybody and all the support that they threw towards Trump and all the fraud. And we're, you know, Lindsey Graham right. called Georgia and Matt Gaetz, you know, all this. Okay. Sure. But the interesting thing is, who was the senator that was out dealing with these people and trying to reason with these people and ultimately ends up having to run for his life? Mitt Romney.
Oh, geez.
Mitt Romney, and if it's not for Officer Goodman, Mitt Romney may not make it. Let's right. just be full disclosure. Mitt Romney, if you watch yeah. the video, like those people were after that man, and Officer Goodman saved his fucking life.
Yeah.
And so Mitt Romney is like, yo, Trump needs to go down. And the people, his coworkers, right, his fellow coworkers, his senators are like, yeah, that sucks that they chased you down like that. It really does suck. But fuck you, Mitt.
I never thought of it in that angle, that if I had to work with people, like, literally who said, you know, okay, because of Steve, people ran into my house, wanted to beat the shit out of me, and possibly leave me for dead. And then I've got to sit here and talk to you about, you know,
not only, the Super but Bowl not, next week. Not right? only do we have to go back to work, but then it's just like, hey, Steve, you can help. You know, get these people off the street. Jim, I don't know if I want to come in ID. I know I was there. I know I was a witness, but I'm not really into all that. So why don't you handle it? Whatever happens, happens. If they get off, they get off. But hey, I'll see you at work on Monday.
Sure. I'll see you at work on Monday. With both fingers up going, fuck. I would literally walk by your office every day going, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean.
My God. I never thought of it from that exact angle, but that's a great point. Like, I had to run for my life, literally.
Right.
And like you are now defending the guy.
Like, if at some point in time, like, they you know, the camera goes to Mitt Romney and he's just beating the shit out of Ted Cruz. Like, I don't even know if you could be mad at him.
You just put an image in my head that is absolutely fucking awesome.
Just Mitt Romney ripping off his shirt and just beating the shit out of Ted Cruz.
It's on fire. Just, all right.
How do you feel about that, Fat Dracula?
Fat Dracula. I love that so much. All right. I'd like to move on to a few other things because we're tight on time. Real quick, the QAnon shaman, whatever the fuck that dude's name is,
why are we even like? Yeah, and I know
how mad does that make you? Is my only question because that is so gross.
It's so there's a couple things here. So the QAnon shaman, the guy who had the bison helmet on or whatever with the horns and no shirt and everything. He gets moved to a facility in Virginia because that place has organic food, apparently, but he does, right? Like, they do, and so he gets moved there because he was refusing to eat because he only eats organic, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. This isn't completely unheard of. Like, Muslims don't eat pork, so, they make certain accommodations for diet, and they have to, right? I mean, over the last, 30 years, it's one of the things that they've done to be more humane, quote-unquote. And we have to realize this is federal prison. This is different than county lockup, right? So a lot of the comparisons that we're making, and I made it to whether it's Kalief Browder or some of the other people, you know, Sandra Bland, you know, all those sort of situations, those were local, you know, city, county lockup situations where they're different. And with the feds, it's just different. Like, they're going to cross their T's and dot their I's. And it's a different situation. Now, you will ask, if he were black, what would they do? Well, if he were black and he were a Muslim and said, I can't eat X, Y, and Z, they would still accommodate him. It's shitty.
The feds would.
The feds would. Now,
because
local,
we know a local right, don't give like, a fuck. Listen,
now, if, now, the thing is, if the QAnon shaman were at Rikers, they would be like, oh, we'll give you something organic. We'll give you something more.
I'm going to stop you right now. I know we're getting anything you're going to say. I'm calling.
Dude, I had a couple options there.
I'm calling my first of three timeouts.
I actually hadn't decided which direction I was going
to
go.
I'll burn all three of my timeouts to stop this.
But, I mean, if this were Rikers, if this were even the Justice Center downtown Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right? And listen, our Justice.
That's what I thought of, because there was that guy on the Serial podcast was like, spent 3 days essentially in a closet with a carton of milk.
Listen,
and
the, downtown. It was nauseating. Listen, the justice or not the? I'm sorry, I said the justice. Yeah, the Justice Center. The Cleveland's county lockup in downtown Cleveland is a nightmare. It's not Rikers, but it is.
It's not for lack of effort.
It is right. I mean, it is only because it's not as old.
Right.
But I mean, right. I mean, the downtown the lockup, Cleveland Cuyahoga County lockup. In downtown Cleveland is a nightmare to the point where the feds came in. I mean, we had, I don't know, 10 people die in a year.
Yeah, it was a scary number. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was every, you know, once a month we had someone dying, and it wasn't old age.
Starvation,
abuse. I mean, there's videos of sheriffs literally just beating people, you know, tying them to chairs and beating them. And it's nightmarish. So what happens in local, city, county lockup is very different. And it's not a fair comparison. Right?
You're making a very good point that I have not heard made yet. And that is, this is the feds. They know the spotlights are on.
Yeah.
They do have a standard of doing things.
Right. And I mean, it's you have a Bureau of Prisons. Or just everything is just handled. Now, listen, that being said, Jeffrey Epstein still managed to kill himself.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
So, you know,
right. Sorry, I have this cough. I'm trying to. Get
but right. I mean, it's just it's different. Now, my point is that all those people should be in Gitmo. My personal opinion: they attacked the United States. They should be in Gitmo. That's what I would do. We didn't close it. Nobody closed it. Obama didn't close it.
I'm not
Trump
for
didn't
Gitmo
close it.
Existing.
Fuck
but
that. I mean, it's there. Use it. Use it for what it's there for. Mix them all together.
That would
right. Mix them up. Put them in there with Khalid and Imam and all them. Go ahead. Mix it up. See what happens. I don't care.
You know what? Let's get rid of the whole solitary thing. Just but Gitmo.
Right.
Gitmo becomes Hunger Games, which I've never seen.
Neither have I. I'm pretty proud of that.
Me too. I want to talk real quick about Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks not playing the national anthem, no one noticing for like 12 games. And then people started losing their shit over it. Mark Cuban said, fine, I'll play it. Talk about how we, you know, all these faux, get back to faux patriotism. It's like, if I don't hear the national anthem or if you kneel during the national anthem, you're disrespecting the flag.
And the Mavericks are in Dallas, in Texas.
Yeah.
You know?
In Dallas, I don't know, but I've heard it's kind of a red area. A little bit.
Well, actually, I mean, Dallas is...
Dallas is maybe more diverse than most of Texas.
Very much more
diverse. I mean, Austin is flat-out blue, though. So.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think it's funny. I love Mark Cuban. In general, I like Mark Cuban. I think he's intellectually honest. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with everything he says.
Nope.
But what he says, he's sincere about, and he has a reason to back it up.
He's a pretty smart guy.
He's actually made the money that he's earned. And so I respect him for doing it. I respect him for when they said... We want you. It's required that you play the anthem. He's like, all right, fine. I'm not gonna fight you. I chose to not do it because I didn't want to deal with it for whatever reason. Fine, you win. And we have to do a quick RIP. Yep. Two of them actually. Larry Flint passed away, and I am a huge Larry Flint fan.
Weird.
The guy. What a wild life he led.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is weird in a lot of ways, but. He did something that I absolutely loved back in, this was the early 80s, when oh God, I'm drawing a blank on his name. The Barney Frank was exposed for being gay, and it was no secret, but it became official, or it became out, and a bunch of Republicans started attacking him, and Larry Flint said, I will now pay $1 million to anyone who exposes a gay Republican. And the Republicans went, whoa, that's not cool. We don't like this.
Bro.
And that's why I love Larry Flint. Is he stuck his finger in the eye of the establishment. He ran for president at least once, I think twice. I mean, not in a serious way. Ran for governor of California. But I like him because he was a guy who literally gave the finger to the system multiple times. He was also kind of a scumbag. I mean, he was. But he did all that, a lot of it, sitting in a wheelchair where he was shot by an extremist religious zealot. And he never quit fighting. And I always liked that about him. I like the fact that towards the end of Jerry Falwell's life, those two guys had a lot of history, none of it good. And they, at the end of Jerry Falwell's life, the two of them literally did lecture series together where they said, despite the fact that I told a story, I put a thing in my magazine about this guy fucking his mom in an outhouse, and he inspired a guy to shoot me and paralyze me, and we can sit here together and talk. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I'm sure you do, but I don't like. I mean, like, I don't know.
Okay.
People start getting shot.
I'm not saying I'm not in favor of him getting shot.
Yeah, I know. I just
forgive
Jerry Falwell.
I'm not a fan of Jerry Falwell. Right, I think Jerry Falwell's a bigger scumbag than Larry Flint.
Exactly.
And Larry Flint was the producer of Hustler magazine. But I respect that he was able to disagree with someone and still talk to them.
I don't know a lot about Larry Flint. You would think that I would have done a deep dive on him. I never have. But I will say I can appreciate him for two reasons. One, Hustler was the very first porn magazine that I ever had. Thank you, Larry Flint. That was amazing. second of all,
it was not the last, I'm guessing.
It was not the last. And then I'm also a big fan of the Larry Flint Hustler Clubs. We have one here in Cleveland.
Oh, that's right.
And they are fantastic establishments that are very clean, very well run, very well organized. And I appreciate him for that. So rest in peace, Larry, and your legacy lives on in two wonderful ways. Although, you know, the porn magazine itself is dying, but you have something else. So, yay.
Okay. And we also lost Marty Schottenheimer. And you know, he was a guy that I respected him. I didn't really think about him a whole lot when he passed away. But when we were texting back and forth about it, you said, didn't he have Alzheimer's? And you asked me if in the article I saw, if it was mentioned, it was. And apparently he was basically in, needed, you know, specific care since like 2016. It was like 4 years. And anyone who's dealt with a family member or a loved one that's had Alzheimer's,
it's terrible.
It is brutal. It's an
awful way to watch a person go. It's a terrible, awful way to watch a person go. And while it's sad that he's gone, it's just a relief for the family that they can kind of move past it, right? Like, it's something that, you know, if he's needed that much care to this point, you know, they've made peace with that fact that he's going to go. It still doesn't make it any easier, but at the same time, like, now everyone in that family can kind of start to put things back together and move on with their lives, which I don't mean to say that in a way that is, you know, harsh, but it's just true, you know?
Absolutely.
It just, you know, I mean, the constant, like, that touch and go is, you know, and I'm sure that probably went on for an extended period of time, months, and, you know, worrying about waking up at night and, you know, if he was still mobile, like, if he could, you know, get out and get lost and things like that, like, you know, you feel for the family. You know, I didn't know the man. He had a, you know, was a really good coach for a long time, coached here in Cleveland, and I think Kansas City and San Diego, and maybe he made a run in Atlanta as well, I think, at the end. I can't remember.
I don't either.
But, you know, sad. You know, I mean, Marty Schottenheimer was, you know, on the football field for a majority of my life coaching someone, so it is sad to see him go, but, you know, hopefully it's better for his family. You know, someone else who's dealing with Alzheimer's right now is Tony Bennett. And
the singer.
Yeah, the singer.
Okay.
And it's a really just heartbreaking story that he's recording an album with Lady Gaga right now. And you know, someone did an article, and it's just gut wrenching. He doesn't remember her. The only thing he remembers is singing songs, but that's it.
Yeah,
and it's just brutal.
I've seen it on a personal level with one of my grandmother's close friends, yeah. My grandfather, and one of my friends from back in Buffalo. His mom literally introduced herself to me 6 times in a matter of 20 minutes, and when she did that, my friend looked across, said, "Get used to it. It's going to happen." Yeah. And I had to you know, play along. But all right, man, we should wrap this up. Yeah. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter.
It's a short show. My schedule's tight this week, so you know, wanted to get it in, and we didn't want to call in somebody from the bullpen. But thank you for listening.
We are done. Thank you.